Now please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'd like to read from verse 32 and down into chapter 12 as far as verse 2. So it's Hebrews chapter 11 and reading from verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Since, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Well, these early Jewish Christians had need of endurance, chapter 10 and verse 36. They had begun to follow Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, but they were facing great opposition from their fellow Jews, who regarded Jesus of Nazareth as a false Messiah, an imposter. And so they were in great danger of renouncing their faith in Jesus to return to Judaism. And just as they had need of endurance, so we have need of endurance as Gentile Christians many, many centuries later. Having begun to follow Jesus, we must continue to follow Jesus to the very end of our lives, to our dying breath. Because as our Lord said himself in Matthew 24 and verse 13, it is only those who endure to the end who shall be saved. So we in our day have great need of endurance. And that's why the apostolic writer sets before us many examples of persevering faith from the Old Testament. Here we have examples of men and women who continued to follow the Lord, and by faith they overcame every affliction and every trial. And the apostle has given us examples from Genesis, from Exodus, and from Joshua. But in verse 32, he's run out of time. And so he provides a summary for us, ending at verse 40. And so we can, if we so wish, we can read about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah in the book of Judges. In the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, we can read about David and Samuel and many other kings and prophets who persevered through faith. in the divine promises. And just as an aside, that's one thing to look out for in our reading of the Old Testament, to be looking out for examples of persevering faith, to inspire us, to encourage us in our own lives. The Apostle even covers that period of around 400 years between Malachi and John the Baptist, when the Maccabees suffered so terribly under Antiochus Epiphanes, as foretold by the prophet Daniel. We haven't the time to go into that this evening. These courageous men and women preferred to suffer than to compromise their faith in the Lord. And the writer is undoubtedly referring to them towards the end of this chapter. And we can read about that period of history, if we so wish, in the books of Maccabees, contained in what is called the Apocrypha. Not part of Holy Scripture, but helpful, and especially that period of Old Testament history. Well, in effect, the Apostle has taken us on a whistle-stop tour of Old Testament history, to show us that throughout that history, the people of God lived and died by faith. And so for this evening, I'd like to summarize this final section of Hebrews 11 under three headings. Our first heading is the works of faith. The works of faith, from verse 32 down to verse 35a. The works of faith. Judges like Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah were men of persevering faith. So were David and other godly kings who followed him. So was Samuel and all the other godly prophets that followed Samuel. And what we have in this section is a list of all the wonderful things that they were able to do for the Lord, and all the obstacles that they overcame by faith, by trusting in their God and his precious promises. Now, were we to spend the time looking at the Old Testament narrative, we will find, even with these ones that are mentioned, that these people were just like us. In themselves, they were so very weak, and that weakness has been left on biblical record for us. And at times, they let the Lord down very badly through moral failure and foolish decisions. And yet, here they are in this spiritual hall of fame. You see, this chapter is not giving us examples of sinless perfection. It's examples of men and women who were deeply flawed, who made many mistakes, but they continued in their faith. They did not turn from the Lord. And that's what matters. And their achievements, their works are listed for us here from verse 32 to verse 35a. Now, of course, some of these works were unique to that time. We are not called to subdue kingdoms by the edge of the sword in the way that David did. Christ has taken the literal sword out of the hands of his people in this new covenant age of the gospel. It's unlikely that we will be thrown into a den of lions like Daniel, and by faith to stop the mouths of those lions, as we've just read. It's very improbable that we shall be thrown into a fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and by faith to quench the violence of that fire. So although Daniel and his three friends are not actually mentioned by name, that is the reference, isn't it, to the lions' mouths and the violence of fire. But there are some works here, some achievements that are very much relevant to ourselves. Let me just mention four very briefly. First of all, verse 33, working righteousness. They worked righteousness by faith Well, that takes us back to Sunday evening in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed because they shall be filled. And all of our works of righteousness are done, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord, which we receive by faith. Secondly, again, verse 33, obtaining promises. And that means obtaining the fulfillment of the promises that God has given. God had promised to protect his people, to strengthen them, to give them wisdom, to grant them victory. They trusted in those promises and acted upon them. And by faith, they obtained the fulfillment of what God had promised. And in that sense, it's the eternal rule, if you like, according to your faith, be it unto you. And how wonderful it is for us in our time to obtain the promises by faith. That is, to see the fulfillment of those promises in our own lives as we trust in the Lord day by day. Thirdly, out of weakness being made strong there in verse 34. Oh, all these people were just like us, so weak in themselves, but just look at what they achieved. They were made strong. How were they made strong? By faith, by trusting in God to strengthen them. And that's why we sang that lovely paraphrase at the beginning of our meeting, based on Isaiah 40. The Lord gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Well, do we believe that promise? Do we trust in that promise? As we do, then strength will come into us. And you see, in all ages, the strength of the Lord is made perfect in weakness, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And then fourthly, becoming valiant in battle, verse 34. How wonderful. As I've already indicated, we are not called to wage a literal war against the Lord's enemies. Luke 9:56, Christ did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. But we are in a battle. We're in a spiritual conflict each and every day. As we've thought recently on Sunday mornings, Hebrews 2 verse 10, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. We've enlisted in his army and we are called to fight valiantly. With this alluring world, our own sinful flesh and the devil, who as a roaring lion seeks to devour us. Perhaps in that sense, spiritually, we can stop the mouths of lions. And you know, in these times especially, we need a great deal of holy courage. It's not easy today to stand courageously for the Lord and for his truth with love and grace. But we become valiant in battle through faith. So the writer draws our attention here to the works of faith, the achievements of faith, the things that the people of God are able to do through faith. But then from verse 35b to verse 38, we now have the sufferings of faith. Here the writer turns our attention from the works of faith to the sufferings of faith. And of course, these early Jewish Christians were suffering. So this part of the chapter would have been especially encouraging for them. And here we learn that God's people in all ages have been a suffering people. And this chapter begins with Abel, whose blood was shed by his brother Cain. And it ends, I believe, with the heroic Maccabees in what is called the intertestamental period, whose blood was shed under Antiochus Epiphanes, as foretold by Daniel. Now, it's not just that all these saints suffered for their faith, they also suffered by their faith. In other words, what sustained them, what strengthened them in suffering, and as we've just read, some of the sufferings are pretty horrendous. According to Jewish tradition, the prophet Isaiah was literally sawn in two. But what sustained them, what strengthened them in their suffering was their faith in God and in his promises. Well, look at verse 35b. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. What a great statement that is. In other words, when being tortured for their allegiance to the Lord, deliverance was offered to them. Renounce the Lord God of Israel, give up your faith, embrace our religion, worship our gods, and we will set you free. And this deliverance was a kind of resurrection, wasn't it, from certain death? But by faith, we're told, they didn't accept that deliverance when offered. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. Through compromising, they could have saved their lives for a few more years in this passing world by renouncing the Lord their God and embracing detestable idols, but they would only lose their lives in the next world. Or they could remain true to the Lord through all the suffering and look forward to a better resurrection, to reign with Christ in eternal glory. And we're told they chose the latter rather than the former. And you know, that's the same choice confronting so many of our brothers and sisters in the Lord today, in Islamic countries and communist countries. Usually there is an opportunity for deliverance. We will set you free if you renounce your faith. And so many of the Lord's people choose to remain loyal to him and to trust in God and in his promises and to strengthen them and to help them. I love that in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Here they are. They're wandering about, they're homeless in deserts and mountains, dens and caves, and they're poorly dressed, and they're destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And to me, that is God's assessment of them. The world did not deserve to have such faithful people living in it. Well, the cruel persecutors said, in effect, well, you're not worthy to live in this world. You don't deserve to live in our society if you're going to remain true to the true and living God. You're not going to enjoy the same comforts and blessings that we enjoy. And so they're either killed or they are made to wander about in deserted places, homeless and destitute. But God says that the world is not worthy to have such godly, faithful saints living in it. How wonderful. So we have the works of faith and we have the sufferings of faith. Thirdly and finally, we have the rewards of faith, verses 39 and 40. I think verse 39 simply means that the Old Testament people of faith, they never saw the promised Messiah. Yes, they had the promises, of course, beginning with Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman to crush the serpent's head. And as the Old Testament unfolds, there's increasing prophecies and promises that the Messiah is coming, the Savior. But these Believers, they didn't live to see the dawning of this new covenant age of the gospel. They believed the promises, but they did not live to see the fulfillment of those promises. But their faith will be rewarded, according to verse 40. And we note that all-important word in verse 40, the word better, which is a key word in Hebrews. We've met it already, a better resurrection. In this new covenant age of the gospel, God has provided something better for us. And in the context, the overall context of Hebrews, I think that simply means that we are no longer living under the shadows of the law, but we enjoy the spiritual realities to which those shadows pointed. But in the end, according to verse 40, all the people of God in every age will be perfected together. And the day of Christ's return will be the day of that better resurrection, when Old Testament believers and New Testament believers will be raised to life, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and thus they will forever be with the Lord. God, having provided something better for us, that they, Old Testament believers, should not be made perfect apart from us. In other words, all of the people of God from every age are going to be made perfect together at the same time. So through faith we work. And through faith we suffer. Some Christians, mainly they work through faith. Other Christians, mainly they suffer through faith. I guess for most Christians it's a bit of one, a bit of the other. But there are dear saints who are simply called to suffer. By faith they can't do and achieve a great deal because of their personal circumstances, their health, their age. Through faith we work, through faith we suffer, and through faith we will be rewarded when made perfect at the resurrection. So let us keep on believing, let us persevere in our faith, let us not give in to any temptation to abandon Jesus for an easier life in this fallen world. Or as we will see next time in what I think will be the final message in this series, for the eternal joy that is set before us, let us endure the cross. Just like Jesus, who is the greatest example of all when it comes to persevering faith. As we will see next time, Jesus lived a life of faith in God and in the promises of God. And Christ went to the cross with all its pain, with all its shame. He went there in faith, trusting that God's promises would be fulfilled, that he would be raised from the dead, exalted to God's right hand, and have the unspeakable joy of seeing many sons brought to glory through his sufferings and death. Amen.